Eat Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, we take being fat to another level.
We're in the news.
But that is
in the news.
We're going to save that for a moment. In just a moment, we'll get to today's top story. But for now, here's how you can get a hold of us at Fat Guys at the Movies. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. And you can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies in iTunes. We come up. You can download episodes, make reviews, and make comments. You can subscribe to us, put us on your iPad pod phone thing. And
is the iPad even out?
When it's out, you can listen to us on the iPad.
I just want to make sure.
So do that. Do the thing with the iTunes. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, which no one seems to want to do anymore. Area code 614-388-8735. You can get us on Facebook. You can just search Fat Guys the Movies. Pretty simple. And you can leave us a message on the Twitter. Twitter.com/rejects is where you can find me. And Kevin Carr can be found at twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's. This week we're going to talk about, of course, Martin Scorsese's Shutter Island. We're going to talk a little bit about The Wolfman and Percy Jackson from last week, movies we didn't see. We're going to talk about Oscar-nominated short films. We have a fantastic Fat Guy 5 for you. But today's top story is a fellow chubby person who's making some news this week. Kevin
yes.
Smith, director of Cop Out, which comes out next week from Warner Brothers, starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Who's not fat anymore.
Tracy
Morgan used to be fat.
So,
but he couldn't get around very
let's
easily.
Let's get the facts, I guess, in the situation. Right. Kevin Smith was on twitter.com/thatkevinsmith, and he was removed from an airplane, a Southwest Air flight from San Francisco to Los Angeles, for being quote unquote too fat to fly.
Yeah.
And it's been this like,
I think that's what they did. They brought out a football player to laugh at him and give him a wedgie.
So it's been this thing. It's been this thing for about a week now, and he has tweeted about it. He has blogged about it. He podcasted about it. And he video blogged about it in 24 segments. So CNN covered it. I couldn't even believe that I saw it on CNN. Kevin Smith.
Oh, it was like in the top page of like Yahoo News and everything.
It is.
Like that.
It is on everything. Southwest Airlines PR department went into crazy spin mode and stated the following. This is
dude, eat a salad, right? Isn't that what they said?
They stated the following, that Kevin Smith had purchased two tickets for his flight so that he could sit his fat ass in two instead of one. And then he went standby on an earlier flight where there was only one seat available and was removed after it was clear that like he was not jiving with the people around him, essentially. That's what Southwest Airlines says. Kevin Smith says it's all BS and blah, blah, blah. So I want to know what Kevin Carr thinks about this.
Well, you know, here's the thing. First of all, you flew standby. This stuff happens when you fly standby. I would understand if he bought a single ticket and he purchased a single ticket and he said to them, look, I need it. And they're like, no, it's totally cool. We'll get you on the flight. We know you're overweight and you should have bought two tickets. And then got kicked off. No, it's obvious he was aware of everything that was going on, and then he flew standby and went to one seat, which I'm like, okay, fine, maybe they could have handled it more delicately, but, you know, you're flying standby, so you could get an earlier flight. That's what happens when you fly standby. Second of all, and here's the thing, grow up. I mean, I love Kevin Smith's movies for the most part, and I think he's a funny guy, but dude, you're almost 40, and you're crying about it like a little girl. You're like, oh, public humiliation, this and that. It's only public humiliation because you tweeted about it to 1.6 million people. If it wasn't, it was just like a public humiliation in front of what, like 100 or so in the plane? I mean, I understand getting upset, but it's an understandable thing. But then he's like tweeting about, I want Southwest justice, and it sounds like he wants like somebody in charge to get fired. And I'm looking at this going, seriously, really? You got on another flight later, and you're flying standby. That's what happens when you fly standby. Sometimes you luck out, and you get put into business class or first class. Sometimes that doesn't. Sometimes you have no class.
Yeah, well,
so,
and, you know, First of all, it happens, and it sucks that it happened, and especially because it doesn't, when it all kind of comes down to it, it doesn't sound like they had a very good...
They didn't handle it
well. Like, yeah, they weren't handling it very well and all that junk. So, you know, he had every reason to be not happy about the situation.
I mean, was there somebody beside him who was like, look, went to the stewardess and said, this guy's spilling over into me?
I don't know. That's what they were, like, saying, but, like, he's saying it's not true. Either way, I mean, it sucks. It's a stupid situation, and it was handled poorly. But to me, it just feels very out of character for Kevin Smith. You know? So, it's just, it's interesting, you know?
Yeah. Well, what's weird about it is, and I don't think that he's like, oh, I'm going to go on this flight and get bumped just so I can get publicity for Cop Out or something like that.
Right.
But it's almost like he's... even on a subconscious level, being like, let's get my name in the news just so I can...
Which I think is really interesting that with that theory. If that's the case, that's kind of a really dumb thing in the sense that they're not promoting... Warner Brothers is not marketing Cop Out as a Kevin Smith film. In fact, his name's not even on the trailer. So...
Well, it's
it really
it's
almost...
The end of the
I mean,
but...
it almost has nothing to do with anything at this point. I just think it's gone on way too long. I don't understand.
I had a conversation on Twitter with some people about this, and people are defending him, and I'm like, fine, I'm not like speaking ill of him necessarily, but Kevin Smith is, if you watch his stuff and you read his stuff and you read his ancillary stuff like his books and watch An Evening with Kevin Smith, the guy's a very insecure guy, and he, as much as he puts on this veneer of being like, well, I don't care what you think, he totally cares what everybody thinks.
Right.
And he really, really, he's come out and said, I'm a hired gun for a Cop Out, but that's very par for the course for what he does.
Right.
And he will, a lot of times, kind of downplay his own movies sort of as a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. And he admits that in one of his evenings with Kevin Smith. He basically says, well, I make fun of it before anybody else can. He's the harshest critic of Jersey Girl out there.
Well, and I think, but the other thing is, the other side is that I think having met Kevin Smith, like I've hung out with the guy, he's a really zen dude. So this situation, it's just out of character for him to like explode in such a way about something and keep going and keep going. I don't want to say there's an ulterior motive there, but, you know...
I don't necessarily think he's pushing it so Cop Out will do well, but every single story, at the end of it, it says Kevin Smith, or be Kevin Smith Cop Out director, you know, and they'll say his movie Cop Out is coming out. I think it's sort of turning into the Paris Hilton sex tape right before her TV show came out.
Right.
Where I don't think she wanted that to get out.
Yeah.
But... you know, they're like, well, if it's going to get out, you know, might as well coordinate it.
Right. Well, it's definitely not a calculated thing. But, you know, and I think it really, it sucks. The other thing I think is, you know, that rule is there for a reason. Like, I've never had a problem on a plane, you know?
Oh, I've sat next to fat people.
Right. And it sucks.
And it's annoying.
And it's, even as a fat person. So, but I've, you know, Kevin Smith's really not that fat. So, I mean, the situation totally sucks.
He's pretty big. He is pretty big.
But, I mean, he's not that big. He's no...
he's wide. He is a wide guy.
Yeah, he's a wide dude. But I don't necessarily know if he should be thrown off a plane.
Well,
so, which is what sucks about the whole situation, is that he's probably right.
I don't know.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be right about some movies. And we're back here on Fat Guys, the movies, and despite the fact that I don't think we solved any world problems in the last segment with the Kevin Smith thing, I think we just wanted to talk as fat people.
Yes.
So we're moving on now that you have that information in front of you, to movies.
Yes.
Which we are Fat Guys, the movies, although the Kevin Smith thing is movie-related.
Oh, it is.
Because he makes movies, and his movie comes out next week. We're going to review it.
I think the saddest thing about this is, at this point, this is what he's going to be most known for, as the guy who got kicked off the flight, as opposed to the director of blank.
Yeah.
On a mainstream level.
This is true.
Anywho, let's talk about a movie that doesn't have any fat people in it. Well, there's the guard. That one guard's fat. We're going to talk about Shutter Island.
Just keep going.
In which Leonardo DiCaprio plays a U.S. Marshal who is called to an isolated sanitarium for the criminally insane to find a patient that has escaped.
Gentlemen, welcome to Shutter Island. You are hereby required to surrender your firearms.
We are duly appointed federal marshals.
But during your stay, you will obey protocol.
We take only the most dangerous and damaged patients, ones no other hospital can manage.
So this prisoner escapes in the last 24 hours.
We don't know how she got out of her room.
It's as if she evaporated straight through the walls.
We haven't heard the truth once yet,
but no one will talk. It's like they're scared or something.
This is, I think, an epic first that of all the wide release movies that are being released this week, which is just one.
Mm-hmm.
We have both seen it.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it's for some reason it's not that rare though in January and February, because in January it's a bunch of crappy movies and I go to Sundance for 2 weeks, and then in February it's a bunch of crappy movies, so they like barely don't they won't screen it, you know.
Yeah.
And since we don't live in the same market, it's like sometimes it's back and forth.
Yeah.
But you know, this one's it was a big enough release to where they screened it in both Columbus and Austin.
Woot.
And I found out why. It's a good movie, you know? I mean, it's Martin Scorsese, so you're going to expect a certain level of quality. And I walked out of it thinking, there's this new director out there called Marty Lynchcock, and it's this hybrid of Scorsese, David Lynch, and Alfred Hitchcock. Okay. And it works really well, because it's kind of this well pieced together thriller mystery movie. And when it unwinds itself quite well. And I thought, you know,
I thought you were going somewhere totally different with that,
oh,
with that name,
no.
But that's just me, sorry.
But, and it's, you know, and it's weird, and it has, and really what it is, I think, personally liked the movie a lot, and I think it's more that just Martin Scorsese just picked really good source material. Like, Dennis Lehane's book is just so good.
Have you read it?
No, I have it sitting there. I've read some of it.
I sleep next to it, so it's...
No, I have it
does that count?
Sitting in my bedroom.
Exactly.
But it's from what I understand, a very, very good book. And, you know, so the story's good. The performances are good. It's a good Scorsese film. Right. And that's something to go see, you know? That's... It's like a James Cameron movie, you know what you're going to get going into it, and, you know, Scorsese tries some really cool, like, thriller tricks. Like, there's no score to this movie.
Well, there's music.
But there is music that's taken from other things.
But he's done that before. He doesn't always score his movies. Yeah. Like Quentin Tarantino, he doesn't actually score it.
Yeah, but the way it's used is incredibly well done.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it moves the story pretty well. I don't know. What'd you think?
Well, I thought that it's a fantastically made movie. I mean, like, I think the cinematography is brilliant. The acting's very good. The music I thought was really well done in sense of picking the right pieces and really setting a mood. It really does set that mood, that creepy mood. It's not my favorite Scorsese film, and here's why. I kind of disagree in the sense that I don't think the story was quite there. Partly because I kind of guessed everything that was happening, and part
really?
Of it is yeah
wow.
part
so
of it
is one of those thrillers where like
I
came down
you.
To the twist and I was like, oh, you know?
I kind of saw a lot of that coming, and part of it's because they reveal too much in the trailers, and if you've seen the trailer 3-4 times, which I have, you can pick up stuff. But it's just I've seen this kind of thing done before. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but. It just wasn't as unique as it could have been, but I don't blame Scorsese for that. What I do blame for Scorsese for is there's parts of this movie where it reminds me of when the movie The Perfect Getaway came out last fall or whenever, and you're like, the movie was okay until it went blue and has this weird flashback that takes like 80 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had these dream sequences and flashbacks that overstayed their welcome. Like a drunk party guest. I mean, it just...
You know, but I think... I don't know. I kind of like those. I like the way he did that.
I thought they were jarring, especially the beginning, throwing them in. Mm-hmm. And then they just went on too long, and you could tell... You're like, oh, this is a dream. And I'm sure he's doing something very artistic and brilliant with this, but it just comes off as a little bit pretentious to me. That's not... That didn't ruin the movie. but it's not like, whereas like something like The Departed and Goodfellas and King of Comedy, you know, these movies that I would consider his best works, those don't have these moments that kind of took me out of the film. So that's just my it was good, but it wasn't great.
Okay.
So kind of rocks for me.
Kind of rocks. Yeah. I'm saying rocks. Okay. I think it's a very solid movie.
You're allowed
and,
to say that.
I really, really liked two performances in particular. One was Leo DiCaprio, was very good in it.
Oh, you call him Leo because he's your buddy.
Yeah, no, because we're cool.
And like Bobby
and then De Niro. Ben Kingsley is super creepy in everything he does.
Especially
when
Gandhi.
When he needs to be creepy. And he was perfect for this role. And I think it's one of those very, it's a pretty digestible thriller. It's a pretty populist. It has a pretty populist appeal to it. It's a Scorsese DiCaprio flick with a bunch of other stars, and it's like really, it's kind of easy. So I think people are really gonna like it. But there's also a lot of nuance to it that, you know, someone like Martin Scorsese, who has this deep love for films, and especially like good thrillers, like, you know, a deep love for Hitchcock and things like that. I think that creates a lot of nuance in the film. So, yeah, totally, it rocks. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Sure. All right, what's next?
Well, one of the other things that's opening this week, it's not a wide release or anything, it's actually kind of limited, is the shorts program, the Oscar-winning, or the Oscar-nominated shorts, the 5 animated and the 5 live-action. Apparently, the heck with the documentary shorts, because we're not going to talk about those. But but they are releasing into theaters around the country. You got to have to check your local instincts. Actually, if you go to shortshd.com, it should have a link. It'll tell you where it is. You can also download these on, like, iTunes.
Oh, that's right. You can get them on iTunes, like, last year.
I mean, you can pay for them, but, you know, for cool people like us.
I thought
us,
they did them for free last year.
I don't know about that.
Or it's like you pay, like, $10 and you get
you
all
probably
of
don't.
Them.
Yeah, I don't think you pay. Well, they're... I mean, I think in total it's less than 3 hours worth of material. It's, like, 2 hours. You know, because most of them... The live-action ones are longer. But some, like the animated ones, some of them are like 5 or 7 minutes long. In all the various areas, you can go see them in the theaters. And I suggest going to see them because these are usually really fantastic pieces. They're things you'll never really get a chance to see again, especially on the big screen. And I have a great love for animation. And while the live action stuff was good, my favorite one was one called Miracle Fish, which is creepy and has real potential for a feature, which, you know, we'll see what happens. So there's, and they got like one on Chernobyl about a story about these people after Chernobyl, and they got this really bizarre one called The Tenant that it's out there. But the animated ones, they're these really innovative ones. There's a Wallace and Gromit adventure as one of them, which is just, I love Wallace and Gromit. There's one called The Reaper, the Lady and the Reaper, where a woman's trying to die and the Reaper's trying to keep him, but this doctor's keep resuscitating her. And these are all, like, computer-generated. And then you also saw Logorama a couple times.
Yeah, which is awesome. Yeah. It's essentially, did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
It's this movie that is, everything in this town is a corporate logo that you would recognize. And every character is a corporate mascot, like
all the
like
cops
cartoon
are
mascot.
Michelin men.
Yeah, the cops are Michelin men. Ronald McDonald has a very interesting role, and it's just, it's amazing, and I love, like, there's just something just truly spectacular.
They
about
really
the creativity that goes into and the details.
Oh yeah,
level of details that is in this movie,
especially these wide shots of the city. Then if you notice, I don't know whether you caught this. There's a scene in there where the By and Large logo from WALL-E shows up.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like, wait a minute, there it is. Yeah, it's a fantastic program, and a lot of places they're either doing them in blocks, or maybe they do a special deal where you can see all 10 shorts all together. They got one opening in Columbus at the Gateway, and I would imagine, you know, elsewhere, they're all over the place. Go to
shortshd.com. Yeah, I haven't seen, maybe they might be doing to the Draft House here in Austin, but I'm sure they're doing something. What was that website again?
I think shortshd.com. We'll put it in the show notes.
Well, I'm trying to go there right now.
All right.
I need to see what's up.
Well, we better go take a break then.
All right.
We'll be right back. miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, everyone. This is the show that has so much entertainment, you're going to need to book two seats for the price of one.
Wow. Wow.
I want to say one more thing about that Kevin Smith thing. It's actually not about Kevin Smith.
It's not about Kevin Smith. Just go for it, man.
It's this article I read on Salon.com. Dave Chen had posted it on his Facebook page, and I read it. And this person who wrote it, I don't even remember who wrote it, but went on a little too far saying, basically lamenting the problems that fat people have if they, you know, just the heartache and that they have trying to get on planes, talking about, and she was relaying stories about this, somebody in her family, her mom was going to die and was on her last legs, and so her sister from Boston couldn't fly to Toronto because she didn't have the money to book two seats, so that she had to drive. And I'm like, well, you still could have booked two seats. It was expensive.
Right.
And it's talking about things like, what about the guy who can't afford the two seats because he's got to go get a liver transplant? And I'm like, no, you're really just reaching. You know, no one has a right to fly.
That's true. It's a luxury. And yeah.
There's nowhere in the continental U.S. that you cannot get to with the car.
You know what? It's weird. People have a weird, like, entitlement towards flying. You know what the most uncomfortable thing I've done in the last month is?
I could make up something really funny.
Sit in first class while the rest of the people board. I don't normally afford to fly first class, but I fly a lot, so I have, like, a lot of frequent flyer miles, and I'm a sucker for an upgrade. So, like, when American Airlines is like, for, like, $50, we'll upgrade your flight to first class.
Class is awesome.
And I'm just like, yeah, do it. And on my way back from Sundance, I flew first class both legs, like, from Salt Lake City to Dallas and from Dallas to Austin. And it's like, people look at you funny. Especially me, like, being schlubby dude with, like, a sweatshirt on. Like, I look like I don't belong in first class, but screw them, you know?
Well, about 10 years or more ago, my wife and I flew to Vegas, and we were coming home, and we got bumped into standby. This is before 9/11, so it was before things got really weird with airlines. And they'd bump us, and usually, if you got bumped, I said, always take the bump, because not only would you get, like, vouchers for... And like, usually when there's seats available, they're in first class or business class, because coach fills up because it's cheaper.
Right.
And so they ended up putting us in a first. It was business class, but it was a really nice business. It was basically first class.
Yeah.
We had the feet rest up. It was leather seats. We had each had our own TV screen. They brought us food and everything, and it was so awesome that I fell asleep on the way on the flight, and I couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I felt so depressed that I fell asleep on, like, from, like, Vegas to Chicago or something like that. So, yeah, I mean,
people are weird
about flying. I used to work in movies. I mean, like, actually work on production crews and stuff like that. And we shot this one thing at the Dayton Airport. It was the Dayton Airport. The hardest thing I ever did in any – I mean, I once had to try and keep an entire city block quiet on a party block in, like, Cleveland. That was easier than trying to get people to stop walking to the shot at the Dayton airport. Because people just get real pissy if you're in an airport telling them they can't walk somewhere. So, yeah, people are wonky when it comes to flying. So, but it's a luxury, you're right. I mean, unless you got to fly to Europe, you know, I mean, you don't, I can understand saying, well, I need to get to Europe, and there's really no other option aside from, like, a ship. You know, because they haven't built that bridge between here and France yet. But yeah,
Wait, they haven't built a bridge between here and France yet?
Well, they did, but it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Ugh,
yeah, but I mean, he with the Kevin Smith situation, he was flying from, San Francisco to L.A., which isn't, I mean, it's a drive, but it's not inconceivable of a drive. It's not like New York to L.A. And like this person from Salon said, it was from Boston to Toronto. You still got to have the passport and everything. The international travel's there. It's like a 10-hour drive. You know, get with the program. Get your fat ass in a car and drive. That's what I have to say. So I'm flying to Cleveland to go see Cop Out.
You're getting two seats.
I'm getting two seats everywhere.
I'm flying to Dallas, so there.
I did reserve two seats, and I have yet to have somebody. I'm seriously thinking of sitting there. Did you see my Twitter? Also, I brought up a
fat
guy's
Twitter
moment. You don't follow me. You do.
No,
you
I
just
do.
To make fun of me. I pulled out an archived show of the Why Did I Get Married show, mm-hmm. the one from Tyler Perry. Do you remember that? Where I literally sat next to a woman whose ass was falling into my seat. And there was mm-hmm. a scene in the movie where somebody... We'll put a link to it, because it's actually pretty funny to listen to mm-hmm. in light of the Kevin Smith things. You can go on and now talk about whatever you're doing, because you sound really bored.
What?
You sound bored. Continue.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about the Kevin Smith thing, but we can now talk about box office. Did you want to talk about the Wolfman and Percy Jackson? And
oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we just wanted to mention the Wolfman and Percy. Did you see Percy Jackson over the weekend?
I saw both of them, yeah.
I didn't see Percy Jackson, but I saw the Wolfman, and I thought it was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't as bad as Rob Hunter made it sound. Yeah. I mean, it has its problems.
The Wolfman, the story was a little murky. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just kind of like it was over-constructed. Well, but the Wolfman scenes were awesome.
The Wolfman scenes were awesome. And I also feel like it really doesn't pay off in the end like you expect that it could.
Are you kidding me, though? The thing in the room? That was awesome.
The thing in the
room?
It's
my favorite scene. Good.
All right.
Do you know the part I'm talking about?
I guess.
When he had all the doctors in the room?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was cool.
That was
great. I'm talking about like the end.
And he eats a liver.
Like where,
he rips a liver
yeah,
out of
the
him.
end where it's like, I mean, there's some werewolf on werewolf action, not sexual,
yeah.
clearly. But
yeah. If you've seen the movie, thought of that would be kind of gross. Emily Blunt. Speaking of like sexual stuff, Emily Blunt was about as humdrum and boring as she could have been in that movie.
This is true.
It was a waste of her.
This is true. So you know, I mean, if you'd like monster
you
movies, it's worth going to see.
Am I boring you?
Totally. Okay. Anyway, Percy Jackson, what'd you think?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it's a kid's movie. I mean, it's a young adult book. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not going to be the next Harry Potter simply because I don't think it has the appeal outside of the tween and teen crowd. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I thought it was fun. I mean, it didn't suck. It had its good parts, it had its bad parts, it had its jazz club scene from Spider-Man, you know, which was the casino,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, yeah, that kind of got goofy, but mm-hmm. but I mean, for a tween sort of Disney Channel version of Clash of the Titans, it worked.
Okay, all right.
Cool. And my wife hates you because of your review, because you talked down to your audience, she said.
Which, I didn't write it.
Sure you did.
What, Percy Jackson?
Yeah.
No, that was Rob.
Yo, did you post it under Rob's name, or did you post it under your name?
I'm almost positive that I posted it under Rob's name.
Oh, maybe it's just she saw your tweet about it.
Yeah, I mean, he talks down to his audience all the time, but
well,
that's why we love
Rob
him.
That's Rob Hunter, man.
But anyway, so now that we have
he's
that
the
out
guy
of
the way, on Film School Rejects you love to hate more than me.
Yeah, we can talk, oh man, and he's really, yeah. Like, you're just, I mean, childish. He's, like, aggressive. So, speaking of which, so now that we've told you nothing about the Wolfman or Percy Jackson, except that now Kevin's wife hates me for no good reason.
I thought, okay, well what do you think of Percy Jackson?
It's time to... I didn't see it.
I thought you went and saw it. You were all excited because
no,
you wanted
I'm
to see
good.
Tit Boys.
So, it's time to talk about box office.
Okay.
And the sad story that is the box office. All three movies did extremely well, as predicted by yours truly. I was like, yeah. 1, 2, 3. However, I thought the Wolfman would be number one. And it got... The Wolfman got stabbed with a silver spear by Valentine's Day.
The Wolfman was raped by Valentine's Day.
It was. It got chewed on. Valentine's Day made $63 million. Percy Jackson made $38, which is a really good take for that movie.
That's a fantastic, like,
and,
February...
Yeah, and the
take.
Wolfman made $35, which I know Universal's not really happy about, from what I understand. But they... That's not terrible.
Well,
35 million
spent,
in
what,
opening. It's 150.
$10 million on Super Bowl spots alone.
Yeah, well, it's $150 million movie, and I'm sure at least 20% on top of that for advertising. And
well, but part of the thing is Universal hasn't had a hit since Couples Retreat. And they've been hurting. They haven't had a hit before Couples Retreat. Their last hit was Fast and Furious. You've literally gone within a calendar year. They've only had three bonafide hits.
They've been struggling, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Wolfman, it's, I mean, it's doing all right. $35 million is not too bad. I think it picked up another $21 million foreign, and I don't think it's open everywhere just yet. So I think it'll make money.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not that great. Avatar came in fourth, $28 million. Avatar coming out of the weekend with $666 million.
You know what, though? You got to sit there and look at it. Avatar, even though it came in number four, $28 million for President's Day weekend is still
fantastic. And finishing fourth?
And coming in fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, Valentine's Day was just, it wasn't a great movie, but it's sort of like, to me, Valentine's Day is like the Twilight movies.
Yeah, but I mean, it beat the record. It beat the, you know, whatever the, Ghost Rider was at $52 million, which is the biggest President's Day, and so 63 beats it pretty handily.
What irritates me about the Valentine's Day coverage is, like, I'm reading stuff and they're like, Julia Roberts, her comeback.
She was barely in that movie.
Well, she was barely in. She was paid $3 million to be in the movie. And it was a waste of money because I don't think anybody saw it because of her.
Yeah.
And second of all, her face looked grotesque and obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And third of all...
Wow.
I call them as I see them, man. You know?
I guess.
It's just not her comeback. She was in Duplicity last year. This is not a comeback.
She's been doing good movies lately. It's not... She didn't, like, go anywhere. Anyway.
Well, she did like a while ago, like 6 or 7 years ago to have kids, and then it was like quitting movies, and then, as I predicted, came back because she's, you know, an attention whore, and that's what she needs.
Yeah.
She needs people looking at her and saying, I love you, your hair is beautiful.
Wow.
Whereas her nose looks like it will knock pillars off of a courthouse if you walk by too closely.
You have an interesting...
Yes, I just said that.
You see interesting things in movies, I think. All right, so quick box office. Shutter Island is going to be the fifth biggest release this week within like 3,000 theaters. So, how do you think it's going to do?
Oh, I think it's going to do really well. I think it'll do 40-ish.
Do you think it's going to finish number one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Valentine's Day is going to drop pretty fast simply because it really got front-loaded with Valentine's Day weekend and... You know, it had a 3-day weekend and all that sort of thing. As opposed, and we've had the 1-2 punch of Dear John and Valentine's Day, so the chick flicks have done their due.
Right.
And it's just everyone went and saw it already.
Yeah. I agree. I think Shutter Island takes it. I think I wouldn't be surprised if The Wolfman finishes second. Yeah. Just not necessarily. I don't think any of the three movies from last week are getting good word of mouth.
No.
So,
well, no, Percy Jackson. Way better.
I mean, okay. But we'll see.
It's done way better than I think anyone ever thought it was going to.
Yeah. So, but I mean, there's a lot of excitement. Those books are very popular. Yeah. Moving on quickly to, we have an interesting Fat Guy 5 this week before we send you to the last segment. We were trying to come up with a list for Martin Scorsese movies or something like that. And we got, instead, we just came up with five crappy Martin Scorsese list ideas. Because
we
couldn't come up with
anything else.
Well, because we went through, like, these lists, and we were like, we couldn't come up with any movies for the list. Because
they're either like the first one, let's go to the first one, which was top five Scorsese films. And that's just too easy.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody's doing that.
That's too generic.
Favorites? Yeah. So
and then we had the top five horror movies by famous directors. So then we had this like 20-minute argument about what's a horror movie and is Shutter Island even a horror movie?
And Cape Fear be a horror movie? Because I contend that Scorsese's not done a horror movie. He's done
right.
Thrillers.
So we have all that crap. And then what's the next one?
The top five cinematic insane asylums, and we're like Arkham Asylum and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then you throw out and the one from Gothica. And I'm like, if we gotta go down to the insane asylum from Gothica
as our number three
choice. Yeah, we need to pick a new list.
And then this is This one was Kevin's, by the way. It's top five Scorsese films no one gives a shit about. Which I think we can only come up with like two.
Well, like Bringing Out the Dead and Shine a Light. Movies that you're like, oh yeah, he did direct that, didn't he? And for me, like The Aviator, which I thought was completely overhyped.
Fair enough, I guess. Right. There have been a lot of Scorsese movies that have just kind of like flown away.
That's true. And then top five puppy dogs, because we couldn't even come up with a fifth damn list for this thing.
Right, top five puppy dogs, just in general, yes. Puppy dogs.
Yeah, puppy dogs, you know, like Marmaduke.
So there you have it, probably the most creative list we've ever done, unfortunately. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to hopefully say something insightful. Wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. It is, you know, we've meandered a bit through this show because there wasn't a lot to talk about.
I think it was a good show. I think we did.
I thought our Fat Guy 5 was excellent.
We made lemonade.
If I must criticize, if I must review our own show during our show. But it's time, once again, to move on to the world famous DVD Roundup. And
That was a Shutter Island.
That was the ferry from Shutter Island. We're both going down to Crazy Town.
Yes.
So this week's DVD Roundup, I'm going to start. I have a bunch, it's all Blu-ray related.
Yes.
We have Black Dynamite, which is... you know, it's funny. I saw this film at Sundance, thought it was hilarious. As the year went on and I didn't see it, and I kept talking to people who had seen it, for some reason my opinion of the movie changed, and I was like, well, maybe it wasn't that good. And then I saw it again on Blu-ray, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
So it's awesome. Go get it. Women in Trouble, another great movie that has not lost its shine on multiple viewings from South by Southwest last year, can now be picked up. And then Hunger from Criterion on Blu-ray, which is an excellent movie, and a great performance from Michael Fassbender, and it's Criterion, so the Blu-ray is just top-notch.
Sure.
And then you have three classic movies. Jean-Luc Godard's Contempt, the original Lady Killers.
With Obi-Wan Kenobi.
What? Yeah, that guy. Alec Guinness. Yeah. And Peter Sellers, isn't it?
Yes.
Great movie. Hilarious movie. Way better than the Coen Brothers.
I like the Coen Brothers, but I haven't seen the original. I've got the Blu-ray sitting here, so I got to watch it this weekend.
And then Kurosawa's Ron.
Yes. Which is that his last film?
I don't know. It was made in the 80s. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I still just kind of sit down and watch it again.
It's King Lear, isn't it?
It's his adaptation of King Lear, but samurai style. So that's cool. So that's all I have. I mean, that's six movies to go out and buy? I'm an expensive date this week.
I've got more movies literally on my list. Law Abiding Citizens was fun with your mom's favorite Gerard Butler.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new Scooby-Doo movie, Scooby-Doo Abracadabra-Doo, which is...
You're just shilling at this point.
No, you know what?
It's shameless.
You know what's great about the Scooby-Doo movies is they got Fred back in the ascot. That's what's cool about these things. They even call him Scarf Boy. But there's also... Clint Eastwood, 35 films, 35 years, which is the most movies I think I've
ever picked. Very cool. Comes with a kind of a cool documentary.
As a documentary, the Eastwood
Factor.
Which
they sent me.
Yeah.
And they didn't send me the 35 films.
Well, but it's
like...
wanted
the 35 films.
Something like 19 discs, and it's just... But it's actually, for what you get, it's very reasonably priced. It's like, I think retail's $170 or whatever, but you can find it like on Amazon for like $110, $120 for 35 movies. So that's a pretty solid box set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, if you're an Eastwood fan, go for it. Do you want to talk about your Four Science?
I do. Well, people should go to listeners should go and read with their eyes. FilmSchoolRejects.com new column Four Science. It's kind of getting a lot of traction. One because Dr. Abias and I was 2 weeks ago now.
Is he in danger of losing his doctorate?
No. This is his doctorate actually comes in handy with Four Science.
Okay.
But we're doing kind of like cinematic endurance tests, and really it was born out of like my notion that there are a lot of movies that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when Eric Romare died.
Yeah.
I had not ever seen an Eric Romare Romare film. So we watched six of them in one day.
Yeah.
And I wrote a big article about it. And so it's a balance between weird stunts that we try.
Well, like tell the about one the weird stunts. We got about 2.5 minutes. So, yeah, so what's the weird
stunt? And then also like learning about movies. But the weird stunt one so far, there were two of them in the last 2 weeks. One was we ate 50 McDonald's chicken nuggets. Not only 50 chicken nuggets, but 50 chicken nuggets, because they do that 50 chicken nugget promo
each
during the Super Bowl weekend here in Texas. Each, yeah. And then we had, it was a large fry, a large Coke, and a large shake. Mm. And you had to finish it all in the runtime of Super Size Me by Morgan Spurlock. It was the most disgusting experience of my life. I wanted to die.
Can I put this in perspective? The official chicken nugget records from the International Federation of Competitive Eating, it's held by Sonia Thomas, 80 mm-hmm. chicken nuggets in 5 minutes. So she finished
I did 50 in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, she ate those 50 in the opening credits.
Yeah, Dr. Abias didn't finish at all.
Oh, did Dr. Abias?
He was 10 nuggets short of a full batch. And then he just sat down. You know the films from The Asylum?
I love The Asylum.
He sat down and watched 5 of them in a row.
I don't know if
And almost jumped off a building.
That's not a good idea. I love The Asylum. I love their films because they're all knockoffs of popular stuff.
Yeah. But no, it's a really entertaining column. People should check it out. So, okay. filmschoolrejects.com.
Awesome.
There's a little button on the front page for For Science. Anyway, time to wrap up our review. Shutter Island was the only major release this week, and I said it rocks.
I said it kind of rocks.
And then next week we've got both Cop Out and The Crazies. I'm pretty sure we'll be able to review Cop Out. The Crazies, I think they're screening it too late.
It's too late. It's like a Thursday night screening. But they're showing it. Thank you, Overture, for actually showing it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're trying. So in between now and then, you can get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. Do that thing with iTunes that I explained earlier. It's a little too much to go into now. Just know that iTunes is where the party's at. Email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. Here's a secret on voicemails. If you leave us a voicemail and it's not completely obscene, we will probably play it on the show.
Well, we'll do it in the third segment, even if it is obscene.
Even if it is obscene. So just call us and say some stuff.
Say something really obnoxious. Just the worst thing. Think of the worst thing you can say and put it on voicemail, and we'll put it in the third segment.
Wow. And with that, I just think it's time to go.